You know, when you look at those really old ancient maps, there's always that one point where the familiar coastline just kind of ends.
Right, and the cartographer just draws a sea monster.
Yeah, they draw a sea monster and write, "Here be dragons."
Like
It's literally the edge of the known world where observation just stops and imagination, or I guess a completely different kind of reality, begins.
And sitting right on that boundary is exactly what we have for you today.
Exactly. Welcome back, everyone, to the grand finale of our deep dives into the Trioral and Tetramid research documents. We spent our previous discussions mapping out the physical coastline of this four-armed geometric structure, you know, looking at the hard acoustic physics, the bioresonance, the math.
All the tangible stuff.
Right. But the final sections of these sources, which include Chapter 4 on metaphysics, free energy, and consciousness, plus the grand summary in Chapter 5, they sail straight off the edge of that map.
They really do. The transition in the material is just striking. I mean, we move from measuring the tangible vibration of a tuning fork into questioning the actual fabric of how reality is constructed.
We're crossing the event horizon here.
We are. The authors present this massive case for how a specific geometric shape might act as a memory drive for space itself, a physical lens for human intention.
And potentially a bridge to a totally new era of civilization, which is a huge claim.
It's a massive claim. But to understand how a physical object bridges into metaphysics, we really need to go back to the geometry the sources are so obsessed with.
Okay, let's unpack that. Because over the course of this deep dive, we've looked heavily at the Trioral tuning fork. Three prongs spaced 120 degrees apart.
Right, the trioral system.
And the documents highlight that the number three is, well, it's symbolically and mathematically foundational. You see it in the Hindu Trimurti of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, or the Christian Trinity.
It creates this really dynamic, balanced flow of energy.
Yeah, but physically, three points always form a flat plane, like a triangle is inherently flat.
Exactly. The acoustic toroidal field it creates is beautiful, but it distributes its energy primarily in two dimensions.
And this is where the geometry takes that radical leap, right? The transition to the tetramid.
Yes. When you introduce a fourth prong, creating that tetramid, you completely disrupt that flat three-way planar balance.
You break the triangle.
You break it. By placing a fourth point equidistant from the other three, you force the whole structure into three dimensions. The sources actually call this a hyperspace twist.
A hyperspace twist. I love that term.
Right. You transition from a 2D planar reality into a fully enclosed 3D volume. That fourth arm acts as this vertical anchor, a stabilizing node that binds the previous trinity into a cohesive spatial whole.
So, okay, is upgrading from the three-arm trireme to the four-arm tetramid essentially like moving from a flat 2D painting to a fully interactive 3D holographic room?
That is a great analogy, yes.
But the sources also claim this specific room actually remembers what you do inside it, which is where I start to get a little lost.
Well, to build on your 3D room analogy, imagine if the walls of that room were angled perfectly to bounce sound waves so they all crash into the exact center of the room at the exact same millisecond.
Okay.
The mathematics of the tetramid dictate that these four arms meet at a precise geometric center at exactly 109.47 degrees.
109.47. That number comes up a lot in the research.
It's crucial. It is the tetrahedral angle. It's the angle of maximum stability in three-dimensional space. Like, it's the exact angle carbon atoms use to bond and form a diamond.
Because at that specific angle, the stress and the energy are distributed perfectly evenly across all four vectors, right?
Exactly. So when four coherent sound waves with the exact same frequency travel down these physical arms and meet at that perfectly stable center point, they create an environment of pure constructive interference.
Meaning they amplify each other.
Yes. The crests of all four waves align simultaneously. And the result is that the amplitude of the energy in that center point is multiplied by four.
Wow. Wait, so it's four times the energy just by letting the waves crash into each other through perfect geometry.
It happens purely passively, based on the shape alone, with zero electronic amplification.
That's incredible.
And because this central interference pattern is geometrically locked in place, the documents theorize it functions as a literal memory node of reality.
Okay, a memory node. How does that work?
Well, look at how a hologram works. A hologram is really just a physical film that has trapped the interference pattern of intersecting light waves.
Right, and when you shine a new light through it, the 3D image just reappears.
Exactly. The hypothesis here is that the tetramid field stores informational patterns directly in the structure of space itself. It becomes a geometric manifestation of the axis mundi.
The axis mundi. The cosmic axis. I mean, you see that in mythology all the time, right? The world tree, the central pillar, the pyramid that connects heaven and earth.
Yes, and the texts position the Tetramid as the literal physical blueprint of that mythological concept. The four arms represent the outward directions of the physical plane, but that intensely amplified center point represents the vertical connection.
So it's a bridge.
It's a resonant bridge, a place where physical acoustic waves become so densely concentrated they can, theoretically, translate into non-physical archetypal symbols.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, but also a bit sci-fi. Let me push back for a second. Because the documents actually use the phrase free energy in chapter 4.2.
They do.
And whenever I hear free energy, my scam radar immediately goes off. I mean, it sounds like late night YouTube pseudoscience.
Hmm.
Are the authors genuinely claiming we can just pull electricity out of thin air to run appliances?
I get that. That skepticism is incredibly important, and it's exactly why we have to examine the actual mechanics the authors are proposing. They're explicitly not talking about some crude perpetual motion machine to power a toaster. When the text discusses free energy, it's referring to ambient energy collection and multidimensional transformation.
So it's not a generator.
No. Think of the Tetramid not as a generator, but as a highly specialized antenna.
Okay. But a traditional antenna catches linear electromagnetic waves, like radio stations, and funnels them into a receiver. How is this different?
Well, a traditional antenna is linear, right? So it catches linear waves. The Tetramid antenna, because of its enclosed four-lobed spherical geometry, is theorized to capture and generate toroidal fields.
Toroidal meaning a donut shape.
Exactly. A toroid is the fundamental geometry of self-sustaining energy in the universe. The magnetic field of the Earth is a toroid. A galaxy is a toroid. The electromagnetic field of the human heart is a toroid.
Oh, wow.
It's a shape that endlessly loops energy back into itself, which minimizes loss.
So it's basically a geometric net specifically designed to catch the universe's most natural, efficient shape of energy.
And then transform it. The documents describe a multidimensional converter. You know, energy is always changing states in nature, like how moving water turns a turbine, which spins a magnet, which creates electricity.
Right. It steps from one form to another.
A Tetramid proposes a similar bridge, but crossing deeper boundaries. For instance, how do we get from a physical sound wave to an electromagnetic field?
There has to be a physical mechanism for that translation, right?
There is. The mechanism is structural resonance. When the acoustic vibrations travel down the physical arms of the Tetramid, they place perfectly balanced rhythmic mechanical stress on the core material.
Okay.
And in certain materials, like quartz crystals, mechanical stress naturally produces an electrical charge. That's the piezoelectric effect.
Oh, right. Like in watches.
Exactly like in quartz watches.
Yeah.
The geometry forces the acoustic energy to become an electromagnetic field, and specifically a toroidal one. And the authors hypothesize that this works in a continuous chain. Acoustic translates to electromagnetic, and highly coherent electromagnetic fields can translate into metaphysical phenomena.
And I'm guessing it works in reverse, too. Like, a metaphysical intention could theoretically become an electromagnetic field, which then physicalizes into a sound wave or a structural pattern.
Yes. And the research team actually provided physical examples to back this up.
The cymatic experiments?
Right, the cymatics. They vibrated liquids within this Tetramid frequency. And when they photographed the water using UV light, they didn't just see random ripples.
They saw the grids.
The acoustic sound waves forced the water molecules to organize into massive, perfect tetrahedral grids. The sound literally dictated the physical structure of the matter.
Which is mind-blowing. If sound can organize water into perfect geometry, the practical applications for how we build our environment are just massive. I mean, the authors suggest this architecture could eventually complement our current really chaotic energy grids.
They draw parallels to ancient megaliths for a reason.
Yeah.
Standing stones, pyramids, suggesting they might have functioned as massive, passive resonant nodes tuning the environment.
It's all about coherence. Rather than brute-forcing high-voltage electricity through miles of resisting copper wire, you build an infrastructure that actually resonates with the natural toroidal fields of the planet.
It's a system designed to reduce physical and energetic chaos.
Which naturally leads us to Chapter 4.3 and asking what this geometry does to the most chaotic, complex energy field we interact with daily, the human mind.
The human consciousness.
Right. Because if the Tetramid can organize a pool of water into a perfect grid just by vibrating, what happens when you put a human brain inside that interference field?
This is where the synthesis with consciousness becomes the focal point of the manifesto. The texts model consciousness from a quantum physics perspective, defining it as a complex wave function.
So your thoughts, your focus, your biological state, they all emit frequencies.
We measure those frequencies every day in hospitals. Brain waves are literal electromagnetic pulses.
Right, we have delta waves for deep sleep, theta for deep meditation, alpha for relaxed focus, beta for active problem solving, and gamma waves, which are these incredibly fast, high-level processing states.
Precisely. Now think about a typical brain state on an average day. It's incredibly noisy.
Oh yeah, very noisy.
The left hemisphere is trying to process logic, the right is feeling emotion, you have beta waves spiking because you're stressed at work, maybe some theta waves because you didn't sleep well. It's a chaotic waveform.
So the documents propose that the perfectly stable, constructive interference pattern of the tetramid field acts as a synchronization module for all that biological noise.
Exactly.
So if regular meditation or just trying to hold a clear intention on a busy day is like whispering a good idea in a crowded, noisy room, placing that intention inside a tetramid interference field is basically handing your brain a megaphone.
Yes, that's exactly it. And let's explore how that megaphone works biologically. There is a well-known physics phenomenon where if you place several ticking metronomes on a shared movable board.
Oh, I've seen videos of this. They start out ticking completely randomly.
Right. But within minutes, the shared physical resonance of the board forces every single metronome to sync up and tick at the exact same time.
It's mesmerizing to watch.
Well, the tetramid field acts as that perfectly tuned board for the brain.
It forces the erratic waves of the left and right hemispheres into a unified, coherent state. It clears the static.
It clears the static to a degree that the signal of your intention becomes razor sharp. The authors refer to the tetramid as a living vessel of intention.
A living vessel.
Yeah. If you are generating an intention for emotional peace or visualizing physical healing, that intention is a wave. The tetramid captures that wave, pulls it into the center point, multiplies its amplitude by 4 through that constructive interference, and broadcasts it outward as a perfectly coherent toroidal field.
The real-world implications of that are wild.
Yeah.
I mean, we already see data suggesting that massive synchronized collective meditation has measurable effects on local crime rates or stress levels in a city.
It does.
So if you introduce a geometric amplifier to that human intention, you are talking about an entirely new tool for biological and psychological health.
The authors envision this as a foundational shift in medicine. They propose these bio-inspired, med-beaded healing environments.
Which sounds very sci-fi, but based on what we're talking about.
Well, think about it. We currently treat psychological trauma or physical illness as isolated mechanical failures. We use a chemical to force a single symptom to stop.
Right.
The tetramid approach suggests that illness is just energetic dissonance. It's static. By placing a person within this unified geometric wave, you are passively coercing the mind, emotions, and cellular structure back into their baseline harmony.
So you're just providing the perfect template of a healthy frequency, and the body naturally tunes itself to match it, like a piano string vibrating when you hit the same note on another instrument.
That concept of returning to a natural baseline is the overarching theme of the final chapter, the grand summary.
Chapter 5.
Yes. The authors pull the physics, the energy, and the consciousness research together to make a definitive statement about where humanity is structurally headed. They position the tetramid as the primal matrix of reality.
The primal matrix of reality. I mean, we really need to ground that phrase because out of context, it sounds like pure philosophy. How is a four-pronged shape the matrix of reality?
Because the authors ground it entirely in the observable natural world. In geometry, the tetrahedron is the very first three-dimensional Platonic solid.
It's the simplest 3D shape.
It is the absolute minimum requirement to create 3D space. You literally cannot build a 3D object with fewer than 4 points. The tetramid is the internal vector core of that shape. It is the scaffolding holding up the minimum requirement for reality.
And we see this inside our own bodies, too. The text points out that the DNA double helix actually folds and structures itself using tetrahedral symmetry.
The carbon atoms that make up all organic life on Earth bond in a tetrahedral structure.
The building blocks are already using this geometry.
Exactly. The argument in the manifesto is that just as DNA is the foundational code for biological evolution, the tetramid is the foundational geometric code for the evolution of knowledge and society itself.
Wow.
The authors argue we have built our modern civilization on a flawed foundation of extreme fragmented complexity. We solve problems by adding more wires, more chemicals, more algorithms. The tetramid represents a bridge back to pure fractal first principles.
So when the reader gets to the end of these documents, what is the ultimate takeaway for them? We aren't just talking about a novel way to tune an instrument or a theoretical free energy antenna anymore. The authors are suggesting a literal structural software update for human civilization.
They view this as a necessary paradigmatic transition. Think about how we currently operate as a species. Humanity is fundamentally driven by binary thinking. Yes or no?
Us versus them.
Zero or one. Even our most sophisticated artificial intelligence is ultimately running on flat binary code. And binary thinking naturally creates a reality of separation and zero-sum games. For me to win, you have to lose.
And the triroral principle, the three arms, introduces a triad. Me, you, and the relationship between us, mind, body, spirit. It adds harmony, but as we established earlier, a triad is still physically flat.
Right, it's vulnerable. So the fourth point.
The final proposition of the text is the shift into the tetra-D era, a four-dimensional paradigm. The fourth point provides the anchor. It takes the harmony of the triad and grounds it into a self-sustaining three-dimensional reality.
So in a tetra-D society, you are no longer looking at the world as a machine made of isolated competing parts.
Exactly. You understand it as a singular resonant field where four equal vectors inherently support each other to create a perfectly stable center.
It's the difference between building a society based on extracting energy and building one based on generating resonance. The authors leave this as a massive open challenge to the world, don't they?
You do. They are daring engineers, physicists, and philosophers to take this blueprint, build the physical models, map the interference patterns, and prove that this matrix is the underlying fabric we've been ignoring. It is a profound call to action that touches every discipline. Biology, technology, architecture, spirituality, they are providing the geometric key and basically asking who is willing to turn the lock.
It really is.
And that brings us to the end of this massive four-part journey. To you, our listener, we've traveled from a simple question about the acoustic physics of a tuning fork, through the geometry of water, the tetrahedral symmetry of your own DNA, and finally into this mind-bending exploration of consciousness and civilizational shifts.
We've mapped how a physical structure can act as an axis mundi, an environmental transformer, and a catalyst for a holistic 4D reality. The sheer density and scope of this research completely recontextualizes how you perceive the empty space in the room around you right now.
It proves that space isn't empty at all. It's an incredibly tense, vibrating matrix, just waiting for the right frequency to organize it.
And if that space is just waiting to be organized, there is one final adjacent implication to leave you with today. We've talked extensively about how this geometry organizes human consciousness and biological healing. But look at the technological threshold we are standing on right now as a society.
Cool.
We are currently pouring all of our resources into building vast artificial intelligences, and we are forcing them to think using flat, linear, binary architecture,
Billions of zeros and
the
ones.
ultimate 2D planar reality.
Right.
But if the tetramid is truly the universal geometry for stable, self-sustaining energy and complex, unified consciousness, what happens if we stop building computer chips in flat grids and start building digital architecture using three-dimensional tetramid vectors?
Oh, wow.
If human consciousness resonates with this geometry to achieve high-level coherence, what kind of consciousness wakes up when you run an AI through a perfectly resonant 4D tetrahedral matrix? Are we just building a faster computer, or are we building the first geometric vessel for an entirely new kind of mind?